So with that in mind, if you have a Bible, why don't you turn with me to Proverbs 31. We'll read a few verses there. I was reminded this morning of the big difference between men and women in the differences between how we conduct Mother's Day services as a church versus how we conduct Father's Day services. You know, when it's Mother's Day, we're usually very doting. We love you, moms. Way to go. You're an inspiration. Moms are so special, and moms are the best, right? That's kind of the feeling of a Mother's Day service. On Father's Day, it's often, come on, dads, let's get it into gear. We can do better. Let's pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and work hard as men of God. So there's a big difference there between men and women. But I want to share with you this morning from Proverbs 31 a few different principles about godly women. If you're there with me, let's begin reading in Proverbs 31, verse 10, and we'll read down through the end of the chapter. I'm reading this morning from what's called the Christian Standard Bible, or the CSB. There's versions of that should be in the pew rack in front of you, just in case you're curious, and you're reading from a different one, and our words don't quite match up. This is the CSB. Where God's word says the following: who can find a wife of noble character? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. She selects wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the merchant's ships, bringing her food from far away. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings, and she draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good, and her lamp never goes out at night. She extends her hands to the spinning staff, and her hands hold the spindle. Her hands reach out to the poor, and she extends her hands to the needy. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed. She makes her own bed coverings, and her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known at the city gates, where he sits among the elders of the land. She makes and sells linen garments. She delivers belts to the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. Her children rise up and they call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women have done noble deeds, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor and let her works praise her at the city gates. This is God's word for us today. And all of God's people said together, amen. Let me share with you this morning just three simple headings that I think highlight the virtues of a godly woman, and in doing so, give us a great opportunity to thank God and worship Him for the gift of those special women in our lives. Number one, notice with me the importance of a godly woman. Importance of a godly woman. We see that importance on display here in Proverbs 31 in a few different ways. The book of Proverbs, as many of you well know, is a book all about the wisdom of God for mankind. Proverbs 31 is unique in that the writer says he got help from his mom to help write Proverbs number 31. And so this is advice from the king's mother about what makes for a godly woman. It also shouldn't go unobserved that this proverb comes last in a list of 31 different chapters. And certainly the truism last but not least applies here. The fact that it's last, it's almost like it's a capstone upon all that has been built here in this book of wisdom. I should note as well that what we read here is a poem, not merely a set of commands or a set of instructions, but as a poem, it's intended to convey something beautiful, something special, something important. This is much more than just an owner's manual that you'd pull from the glove box to see how to do things. This is a celebration in wisdom of godly womanhood. And we see the importance of godly women both in the location, as this is the concluding proverb, and also in the composition. There's a few things about this proverb which are easy to go unnoticed to the English reader. That is the English language reader. We can't see into the Hebrew or see into the alphabet, but there's a few things going on here in the original languages that demonstrate for us just how important and how much work and craftsmanship went into this proverb, chapter number 31. First of all, it's an acrostic poem. An acrostic poem, that's a poem where the first line, the first letter of each line is very intentional. So a good example of an acrostic poem, just shooting from the hip here. Like, let's say I was going to write an acrostic poem using my name, Deek, D-E-E-K. So I'd write Deek like this, and the D, we would say, may stand for daring, and the E may stand for energetic, or what have you, and go on down the line. That's an acrostic poem. That's precisely what you have here in Proverbs 31. And the author actually goes through all the letters of the Hebrew alphabet as he begins each line here. Now, that's a literary emphasis, the point of which is simply this. God wants you to know that women are important to him, and they ought to be celebrated amongst godly people. We see also in this proverb that a woman can make or break her family. A woman can make or break her husband. A woman can make or break her kids. That's how important it is to be a godly woman in the house that God has given you. I want to share one final thing about the importance of godly women under our first heading here, and that has to do with what we call the scope of godly womanhood. Who all is included in this discussion of Proverbs 31 and its idea of a virtuous woman or an excellent wife, or as verse 10 says, a wife of noble character? Often we think of the godly woman and the ideal of that woman being limited to women who are married and women who have children. Now, those are wonderful things that, yes, indeed, we celebrate on Mother's Day. But the Bible does not limit godly womanhood to just people who fit into that character. Matter of fact, the language that's used in verse number 1, who can find a wife of noble character, the language of being a virtuous woman of God, is applied, I think, very interestingly to a character in the Old Testament you might be surprised to hear it applied to, and that's the character of Ruth. In Ruth chapter 3, verse 11, the Word of God says this about the character Ruth. Now, my daughter, do not fear. I will do for you all that you ask, for all my fellow townsmen know that you are a worthy woman. Now, what's interesting about that phrase, a worthy woman, it's the same exact phrasing as the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31, or the wife of noble character. All of the virtues that are celebrated of godly womanhood here in Proverbs 31, where it's specifically applied to a married woman with children, are also applied to Ruth back in Ruth chapter 3, verse number 11. And now, why do I find that so interesting? Because when it was spoken of Ruth, Ruth was neither married nor did she have any children, and yet she was held up as a wonderful example of virtue and godly womanhood. Ruth was poor, as I mentioned, unmarried and childless, and Ruth had endured all kinds of hardship in her life, and yet God's word can celebrate her as a virtuous woman, a model for all of godly womanhood. So I don't want that lost on us today. There's all manner of different circumstances in this room that inform the kind of women that we have here today. I want you to know that God loves every single one of you, and when you trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, by faith, you are infinitely valuable to your Heavenly Father, and you are to be celebrated among the people of God for your importance. That's our first heading this morning, the importance of a godly woman. Notice with me, secondly, the value of a godly woman. Now, we're speaking a little bit repetitively here today, but that's because Proverbs 31 does that. But in Proverbs 31, verse number 10, we see that she is far more precious than jewels. That is valuable. We see that she is trustworthy, that she is beneficial. I can think of no greater example where a godly woman is shown to be valuable than what happens in a scene in John chapter 19. In John chapter 19, Jesus is crucified. And as the Bible tells the story, Jesus was nailed to the cross, and yet he remained alive for several more hours even after they had nailed his hands and his feet to that cross. And while he was there, he issued a few sayings. They're known as the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross. I find it just so inspiring and insightful that one of the last things Jesus ever said before he died, he spoke to and about his mother. John chapter 19, verses 25 through 27, Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's very soon to die. He sees his mother, Mary, and he sees one of his disciples, John. And in one of his last acts upon earth, he tells Mary, "Mary, John's going to take care of you now that I'm gone. John, I want you to take care of my mother." That's important for us as the people of Jesus Christ to learn from his great example the value of a godly woman. Proverbs 31 says so many different things about a godly woman. Let me just highlight three quickly. Number one, the godly woman is diligent. She's a hard worker. She makes good decisions. She's strong. I love that it says her arms are strong. It's almost a picture of a woman taking a break just for a moment from all the wonderful work that she does and flexing those godly woman muscles with her strong arms. She's a provider, making sure her people are taken care of. She's industrious. She's a business person. Says she makes money from the work she does, and then she goes and buys real estate with the money that she made. And we ought to celebrate the women in our life for these virtues and for that hard-working demeanor. Notice also it says not just that she's diligent, but I really like this. A godly woman is kind. She's kind. Verse 20 paints a picture of a woman who is charitable toward others, and especially so those who need help. Verse 26 says that she is kind in her speech. And I think that we would do well to notice here, when kindness is described and attributed to a godly woman, that kindness is described in terms of how she uses her mouth and what she uses her tongue to say. Notice that in verse 26. Her mouth speaks wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. Kindness is much more measured by our words than perhaps by anything else. And a godly woman uses her words well to be kind to others. Notice also about the value of a godly woman. She's celebrated. She's celebrated. Verse 28 says, her children celebrate her. Verse 29 says her husband celebrates her. Verse 30 and verse 31 sort of bring all this to a point of culmination, and God's word itself celebrates a godly woman. So we do well to do that today. Well, Mother's Day is such a wonderful occasion. I understand it's a great opportunity for companies like Hallmark to make some money. But beyond that, Mother's Day is a great opportunity in our calendar year, every year, to remember God has placed women in our life in such special and strategic locations, and today we thank Him for those women, and if they're still with us, we make a point to reach out to them and let them know just how special that they are. Matter of fact, I got a phone call I need to make today to my mom. I remember there was this old advertisement from some telephone company. It's probably 40 years old, but it had Bear Bryant, former head coach at Alabama, and he was the spokesperson for this telephone company. And he's sitting at his desk there in that, you know, college coach looking office, and he says, "Have you called your mama today? If your mother is still with us, That's a question you need to be asked today. Have you called your mama today? You know, this one little special moment happened. Last year, we were on family vacation, and we had a server that came by. And he was we were at a restaurant. He was interacting with our kids, and he was really getting a kick out of my youngest, Bo. Bo's got a big personality. He's real funny, and Bo is the epitome of a mama's boy. Not in the sissy sense of the term, but he just loves his mama. If we're sitting on the couch watching a television show or something like that, and he's snuggled up next to me, the moment Lauren walks in, Bo's like, no offense, Dad, but I'm going to sit with her. And that's just the way it is. So our server comes up to our table, and he's just, you know, shooting the breeze with my kids. And he looks at Bo, and he says, Bo, have you been kissing any pretty girls lately? And Bo looked at him like he was crazy. And Bo said, I only kiss my mama. The value of a godly woman. Let me share with you finally this morning, switching gears just a little bit. We'll look at some outside of Proverbs 31. I just want to ask the question as we close, what is it that a godly woman, and in particular a godly mother, can teach us or model for us about our Heavenly Father? And as you'll see in a moment, this isn't a hypothetical question. It's actually a question that God's Word speaks to in a number of different ways. And so what can our earthly mothers teach us about our Heavenly Father? This I share with you under the heading, The Lessons of a Godly Woman. First off, God is not a man. Not in the same way that I am a man. We know that the Bible uses masculine language, and in particular, masculine pronouns to refer to God. He is our Father. That's a masculine term. The Bible speaks of Him as a He. It's a masculine term. But we remember, God is not a man. God is Spirit. Numbers chapter 23, verse 19 says so clearly, God is not man that He should lie, or the Son of Man that He should change His mind. God, our God and Father, is something more than man. Jesus said in John chapter 4, God is Spirit. Those who worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Just like the Bible speaks about God sometimes in masculine terms, the Bible also speaks about God in other terms to make a point, to make an illustration. So for instance, God is spoken of as a lamb when His sacrifice is being highlighted. He's spoken of as a lion when His strength and ferocity is on display. He's spoken of as a rock when we think about how strong and lasting He is. He's spoken of as a cornerstone when we think of the edifice of His church being built upon Jesus Christ. God is spoken of as living water, or as the bread of life, or the light of the world. I could go on. I'm just simply making the point here. The Bible often uses images that we're familiar with to help communicate things about God, who is so different that apart from His revelation, we would not be familiar with Him at all. In a similar way, God and His Word will speak of His virtues sometimes with images that highlight the virtues of a godly woman. We learn, for instance, that God is tender, that He's compassionate, even nurturing towards His children, the way that a mother is towards her children. Jesus said in Matthew 23, verse 37, as He looked out over the ancient city of God, Jerusalem, Jesus said, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings?" Jesus longed for His people's well-being like a mother longs for that of her children. Psalm 36, verse 7, the psalmist writes, "How precious is your steadfast love, O God! The children of mankind take refuge where? Under the shadow of your wings." These are all feminine images of a bird taking care of her small baby birds, a picture of God's love and His nurture and His compassion towards us. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12 and 13. Speaking of God and His relationship with His people, it says, "And God, you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip and bounced upon her knees. Now, the Bible's not calling God a her, but it's using feminine images to teach us how much God is going to take care of us. As one whom his mother comforts, God says, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem. God promises here in the ancient prophetic passage to love, to play with, to nurse, and to spend time in a relationship with his people, just like a mother does with the children whom she loves. And we worship him because he loves us in that way. I could say more. I think you get the point. Let me close with making this statement about our God. He is loving towards us. Loving towards us. You know, I was so blessed by God to be able, with Lauren, to have three awesome kids. And I was blessed to be in the room when those kids made their entrance. And I watched as God laid those children in our arms, and we were able to set that baby there on Lauren. I mean, just moments after they were born. I'm going to tell you something. The look between that brand new mother and that brand new child was something I'll never forget. God looks at you just the same way, because he loves you, because there's nothing that he wouldn't do for you. Matter of fact, he's done it all for you in Jesus Christ. The love that God has for us is unconditional. The love that he has for us is immeasurable. The love that he has for us is sacrificial. And nowhere do we see that sacrifice more than in the giving of his son, Jesus Christ, that he might pay for our sins with his death upon the cross. I came across a story a couple years ago about a young mother in her early 20s. Her name was Genevieve. She suffered from something known as Marfan syndrome, a hereditary disorder that somehow affects the connective tissues in the body. Her mother before her had it. She and her husband consulted a world-class authority on this disease about her becoming pregnant. The doctor strongly cautioned her against it, and yet that very week, they received word from their OBGYN that she was pregnant. And the first thing that was discussed was an abortion. Turns out, because of that Marfan syndrome, Genevieve's life was at stake in her pregnancy. Genevieve, with the knowledge and the consent of her husband, made the unexpected choice of carrying the child to term. About 7 months into the pregnancy, Genevieve was hospitalized for tests. The tests were not good, and her doctor suggested that she be transferred to a larger facility so more sophisticated tests could be ran. She was loaded on a helicopter for the short flight, and just before the helicopter lifted off, Genevieve sat up on the gurney, alarmed. The arteries of her heart, weakened by the disease, further weakened by the pregnancy, detached from her heart. Death was instant. The doctor who had just put her on the helicopter rushed back and delivered a beautiful baby girl who is an adult today. Some would say that this woman, Genevieve, was unwise, or perhaps even foolish, for making the decisions that she made. Others might say, greater love has no one than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. God's love for you is like that mother's love for her child. Jesus gave his life so that you may live. As we honor the godly women in our life today, there's no better way to honor them than to give your heart to Jesus, to trust him. He loves you and he died to pay for your sins. Would you commit yourself to him today? Let me invite you to bow your heads with me. While your heads are bowed and our musicians come and prepare to lead us in a song, I just want to lead you in a time of reflection. We've shared a lot today. There's no telling with all of our backstories and all the different feelings we may be tempted to have on a Mother's Day. There's no telling what you've thought or you've experienced, even this morning, with all the talk of mothers and women. Special holidays like today often bring a wide range of emotions. If you're here and you're thankful for your mother, would you just whisper a prayer in your heart and say, "Thank you, God, for my mom." Maybe you're here today and you miss your mother. Maybe she's passed away. Maybe it's recent. Maybe it's a long time ago. But you still feel the loss. May God bless you today and touch your heart. Maybe you're here this morning and you have some regrets as a mother. Who among us doesn't have regrets? Would you trust the Lord to make up any lack or any loss in your life? Maybe you're here this morning and you want to be a mother, or you wish that you were a mother. May God bless you and grant you peace today. Would you just take these next few moments and just give your heart to the Lord in a new way? Respond to Him as He has touched you and spoken to you. Entrust yourself to Him in faith. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You today, and we celebrate together the godly women in our life. Lord, may You be praised as we prepare to sing to You. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.